All right, so Hebrews 11 and 1. We're going to read Hebrews. They're both two passages. First passage is Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. And the second passage is Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Okay? I want to really set the framework and groundwork for how we're going to handle this faith piece, but I really need to talk to our young people, all right? This will be something in here that everybody can look at, but I really want to talk to our young people, all right? Because we did talk about this, and they understand, the ones that were here this weekend, we talked about this. There is no excuse for not knowing what God said, because God speaks our language. God speaks our language. The Bible says that God, in a paraphrase, that God speaks our language. There is no speech, there is no language that God does not communicate with. It speaks that in the psalm, and some of us are lazy, and we go get translations that are so far off of what God has said, because we want God to speak our language, but we're not willing to take time and spend time with God to hear the language that God speaks. When we look at trees, sometimes we look at trees and think that trees made themselves. But no tree made itself. Somebody had made that seed that made that tree. And so one of the biggest demonic attacks upon the earth released to us as human beings is that we just showed up out of nowhere. But nowhere had someplace, because time, everything is in God. And even students, young people are being bombarded in schools with this, it's not just creation, but now they're teaching, what is it, evolution. But even if you believe evolution, where did people evolve from? Who made the original? And so this verse is saying, in essence, brothers and sisters, hey, the stuff we see, it got there somehow. Now, the thing is, how do you believe that somehow? So, what we see created by what we don't see. God's word spoke everything into existence. And his word came from him. Got it? Subject for today. Our subject for today is, and I really want to share with our young people today. I was studying, and I wasn't sure what topic to bring or if we needed a topic other than faith, but I think I got it. I think the Lord gave me a good one. And I think this is the cry of every young person, but I also believe it's the cry of many adults. It's an unspoken thing. It's sometimes, everybody as a kid at certain times in life acted out, but the acting out was because we wanted attention. And it wasn't that you weren't giving us good attention, but we just needed attention. And we don't always know why we need attention. We just know we need attention. So if you're an only child and your parents have a child, and you've been the only child for 5 or 6 years, and all of a sudden another child shows up, you're not happy about that. And some of us still hadn't gotten over it. And we're grown-ups, you know. But the attention went somewhere else. And it didn't seem like it was like gradual. It was immediate. And I think this sums up, just from starting off talking about faith. Here it is. Our thought for today, help. I'm under attack. Let me lay some foundation here. I use the key word, foundation. We don't talk a lot about Satan, but he's real. And one of the things I thought about is to our young people, you know, let me apologize, because I don't talk a lot about him, but he's real. And the truth of the matter is, if you're a child, whether you're saved or unsaved, Satan wants you. And Satan is an enemy of God, and he's going to do everything he can in his power to take you out. And some of the things that you all are dealing with, whether it be medically, spiritually, emotionally, physically, psychologically, it's not because God is trying to deal you a bad hand or God wants you to just suffer, but there's a war going on. There's a war going on. Let me share this, and this is personal. And young people, I don't want you to feel bad about this. Some of our young people are dealing with stuff that some of us never thought we'd have to deal with. Some of our young people need medication just like some of us adults to get through the day. Help, I'm under attack. And we don't talk about those things, but they're going on in our church. That is our kid going to the psychiatrist. Help, I'm under attack. That is our kid that has to go get different types of medication. Help, I'm under attack. It's our kids suffering from divorce and tragedy and joblessness and homelessness and no food. Help, I'm under attack. It's our kids that are dealing with some of our past in their present. Help, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, help, auntie, uncle, help, I'm under attack. And the church has had no response to the attack that you all are under. We churchify all of our answers. We dump you on the church. The church is not ready, not prepared, because the church has been in disobedience and ignoring God. And so the church is now not prepared to deal with the generation whose cry is simply, help, I'm under attack. We don't have time, and when we need volunteers, if it's not my kid or my kid's not involved, I'm gone. Help, I'm under attack. And this is really applicable to the book of Hebrews. Because if you're familiar with the book at all, you understand that the book of Hebrews was written to believers. It was written to Hebrews. It was written to Jews who had now become Christians. They are in danger of turning back to the old stuff. They're in danger. They're in danger of going back to slaying bulls and bullocks and doves and stuff. And watch this, young people. Listen, it's no magic trick when you believe. The challenge is this. When you say you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to do it for yourself. Because watch this. As you begin to grow in Christ, let me just say, there are times when I've wanted to go back. Because it does not get any easier. Just start serving in the church. It does not get any easier. Just let your own personal emotions come out. Just let, you know, some of you are dealing with male-female attraction. And watch this. You haven't seen your parents or whoever your parent is with interact in an appropriate way. And so, fellas, you holler at a chick the way you've seen somebody holler at your mama. And you know it's not right. But you don't know the right way because it's not model. Ladies, some of you, I know. But your outlook on yourself is so low right now as young people that you don't know what to think when somebody said, when a brother just says hi. Let me tell you something, just because he's got your number don't mean he don't have other numbers. And let me tell you something, at this age of your life, trust me, in 20 years, if you just leave him alone and wait for a better one to come, there's good, better, and best. And if you just wait a little while, God will give you the best one. Just wait for the best one. Because let's be honest, there are some of us who 20 years ago, we wanted a girl or a boy, and right now we're sitting thanking God, you know, because they don't look the way they looked when they was. Let's be real. Huh? Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's you. And get in the car and drive home, be like, thank you. Woo! And watch this. This is what's unsaid even in our home. Some of our marriages are shambles because we move too fast. So what am I saying? I hear you all. Help. I'm under attack. It doesn't seem like your school teachers care. But your parents not there along the way with you to help you in school. And let's be honest, some of the parents have no clue of the work that you're doing. So when you go to your parents for help, some of them cannot give it. We're not talking about giving it the way you want it. But some of them cannot give it because they don't have the educational foundation that you already have. And so your inability to do math is linked to their inability to do math. Some of your inability to read is or struggles with it is linked to their inability to do it. Some of your disobedience is linked to their disobedience. And the cry is, help, I'm under attack. And you don't know how to say it. You don't know how to say it because you don't want to feel like a punk or a chump I'm under attack. Some of you are dealing with same-sex attraction. And it's not just the kid. And so the cry is from the soul, help! I'm under, where's all this coming from? But I think this word will help us today. God is talking to you all about going forward, about being, these people have accepted Christ, they've accepted the message, they've accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, they've accepted, you know, you all remember when we accepted Christ when we were kids? We ain't kids no more. And I don't care what happens between the day you accept Christ, as soon as you accept Christ, the battle is on. And God has a plan for each and every one of your lives, young people, but watch this, Satan got a plan too. And he's willing to do anything he can to keep you from doing what God would have you to do. Watch this. And you find in life that what God wants you to do is exactly what you're going to love doing. It's the truth. Whatever God has for you, it's the best thing and you will love it. Some of us are angry now. Just take it from me. There are some adults who are upset now because they don't have any idea what God wants them to do. It's not because nobody was there to help them along. They wouldn't receive it. And now they're trying to find their way. You know, I understand everybody tries to find their way, but you 55 and trying to find your way? I mean, seriously, you 45 years old and you don't have any clue of what you want to do. There's something wrong with that as a child. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but the thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And what does he do? He attacks you. You didn't even know it. Realize it. And now you got a life that you can't stand. And like Tony Rich said, you're crying inside. And you think you're the only one that knows it. But it's true. The Jews wanted to go back. You know, you all, we have a great conversation. This book we're doing, Not a Fan, we had a great conversation with our young people. They've been in there with us. And they have said some powerful stuff. Like, wow. And you think about it, they go to church. I mean, I genuinely hear their hearts. They are sharing Jesus. They're sharing Jesus more than we're sharing Jesus. And they're like, Pastor, but no, they don't want to come. Or Pastor, they got stuff to do. Or they need a ride. And I understand. And listen, when a child, here's the thing. When you all are doing what you're doing and you're starting to share Jesus with people, help, I'm under attack is going to be like one of your phrases. Because when you start sharing Jesus and really wanting to live for God, what's going to happen? Satan is as a roaring lion coming after you. He's coming. And if you start talking about Jesus now like you all are doing and trying to live for him now, can you imagine how afraid Satan is of you? Could you imagine if you grow in your faith and become who God wants you to be? Think Kobe. Let's think Kobe. Let's think Kobe for a minute. I mean, raise your hand, young people. You like Kobe. You like Kobe. You like LeBron? You like LeBron. Okay, so I mean, I ain't asking y'all. But so think about it like this. You think that Kobe and LeBron started practicing when they were 20? No, listen, I'm from Ohio. They had LeBron on the map when he was 7 years old. Raise your hand out here if you grew up with those Like Mike commercials. You know, sometimes I dream. He is me. So you go in the backyard trying to, you know. But here it is. They practiced. Do you understand? So that by the time they hit teenage, by the time they hit 15, 16, 17, they were on what's called the radar. Everybody knew. Listen, in Cleveland, Ohio, when LeBron was 16, everybody knew who LeBron was. I was coaching in college, Ben. When LeBron walked in the club at 17 years old, we all knew who LeBron was. Everybody stopped. Him and his boys went in. It's like everybody, where am I going? Listen, when you're doing what you're supposed to do in God, Satan knows who you are. And he understands if he can get you on his team, get you off of God's team, and get you to give up the faith that you profess, man, if he could get five of our young people on this squad, Imani, if he could get you, if he could get the Dunmires and Rayshawn and Joshua, he's got a squad. He's got a squad. I mean, and watch this. And then if he can get y'all trying to be first on his team, I mean, think about it. And I don't really believe you all want to be on his team. You all are so good. You're good kids. Genuinely great kids. And when I first came here, I'll never forget. I said, man, these kids are nice. But it scared me. But watch this. It scared me because you all didn't know what was coming. Sometimes being naive can be a bad thing. And I didn't feel like certain things were quite ready. If we've watched you all just... And some of you are in a place where you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to turn back? Or are you going to stay in the race? And here in this passage, Paul is not really giving us a definition of faith. What Paul is really doing is addressing the problem that they're having. Paul is saying, listen, or even the writer of Hebrews, it may not necessarily be Paul, but look at the text. Look at Hebrews 11 and 1 again. Let me get over there. Look at it again, young people. Look at it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's very difficult to define faith. But let's define faith as, let me see. Let's define faith as a belief. That leads to confidence and becomes trust. So let's define faith as a belief that leads to confidence that becomes trust. Why do I want to define it as that? It was John W. Rittenbaugh looking through some things. It's very difficult to define what faith is. And here Paul is not saying defining, or the writer of Hebrews is not saying what faith is by definition. What he's really getting at here is saying, you want to know why we do what we do? Because of who we can't see. And our faith in the person that we can't see. Does that make sense? And so faith is important because look at verse 6 in Hebrews 11. It says, without faith, what? You with me, young people? What's it say in verse 6 there? It says, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. It's impossible to do stuff that God likes without faith. And many people try to do stuff that God likes and don't even believe in what they're doing. That doesn't please God. God wants you to believe in him. And if you believe in him, you believe in what you're doing for him. Because it's for him. So, for example, you all up here singing. You're not singing for us. You're singing for him. And so it matters the conviction. It matters the confidence you have in the words that you all are singing. Does that make sense? It matters. It matters because when you don't have confidence in what you're singing, when you go out there and it comes up on you, the bottom falls out. And that's why I'm very, and I know some people don't understand, that's why I'm very particular about what we all sing. There are certain songs I just don't think we ought to sing. You know, but there are also certain songs that we need to sing that again. Because it's got to get in our hearts and minds and sing it. Sometimes you got to sing it and rehearse it until you believe it. Because unless you believe, you're really not confident in God. You can't be confident in God doing something for you and you don't really believe who God is. You can't be confident that Jesus really saved you and that when you die and go to the judgment that you're really going to go into heaven if you don't have any belief in him.